We have a quorum now.
Let's see.
So I am going to call the Resolutions Committee of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois to order. Can we get people to identify if they're here on the committee officially? I know I've got Debbie Pittman. I have Dave Meyer. Of course, we have our president, Denise Avant. I have Steve Histalis. I have Bill Reif. I also have Mary Lou Grunwald. Who did I miss that's on the committee? Adrian's on, but I don't see her in the room yet.
She's on
her
way out.
Okay, Adrian is on her way. I'm going to go ahead and get started if nobody has any objection. Now, just as a reminder, this committee does not pass resolutions. What this committee does is it makes a recommendation to the convention as to whether the convention pass or do not pass a resolution. If we recommend do pass, that resolution is presented to the convention whenever the president decides that she wants to present it in the timing of the convention. If we end up recommending do not pass on any of these, that resolution does not automatically go to the convention. That resolution can go to the convention only if three board members sign off on presenting it to the convention despite this committee's recommendations. I would ask that we keep our deliberations reasonably brief. Keep in mind that after this meeting, the scholarship committee needs to meet, and there are at least half the people in the room who need to be present at that. So I will force brevity. Think about what you want to say before you want to say it. So without further ado, what I'm going to do is have a resolution read. I'm going to ask the proponent of the resolution to very briefly say why you're in favor of this resolution, and I mean briefly, and then we will see if there's any opposition. If there isn't any opposition, we'll go ahead and take a vote, assuming I had a motion and a second in the first place. Any questions? Hearing none. Debbie, can you do 2015-01?
Can everybody hear me? I don't have a mic here, so.
Can we roll one of those mics? No, we have to have a mic because we're streaming. Okay. Can we roll that mic over, or can we trade chairs? Hang on.
Okay.
All right, we'll get you a mic.
I'm sorry,
I think
right
there
right
is one, and Byron's just going
right
to roll it towards
right
you.
Where are you?
Debbie's on the end over here on my right. Yeah, it probably just needs to roll it towards you.
What are you doing now?
Better. Much better.
Okay. How's that?
Much better.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Pay for all this equipment. We're going to use it.
Yeah, right. Resolution 2015 number one. Regarding quarterly conference calls between blind stakeholder consumer groups and the Illinois Director of Rehabilitation. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, the National Association of Blind Merchants, and other interested consumer organizations believe that it is of the utmost importance to keep the lines of communication open with the Director of Rehabilitation Services. And whereas such communication allows the blind to advocate for the kinds of specialized services and training that most effectively eliminate the technical and attitudinal barriers attributable to the inability to access information presented visually and enhance collaboration, whereas ongoing communication with the director has proven essential in the ongoing absence of a Bureau of the Blind director and has served as an important means by which the blind have informed the director of ways in which the present lack of leadership and fiscal resources has hindered Bureau staff in their mission of equipping the blind to work and live independently. And whereas, while the statute establishing both the Bureau of the Blind and the Blind Services Planning Council mandates a collaborative relationship that makes informed advice possible. Such continues to be impossible, given the lack of a bureau director and the limited involvement of the current director in bureau operations, and whereas informed stakeholders representing those to whom the Department of Rehabilitation is charged to provide services are in a position to effectively advocate for the types and quantity of targeted resources that enhance the propriety and effectiveness of such services at minimum cost. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled the first day of November 2015 in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization strongly urge that the Director of Rehabilitation Services meet on a quarterly basis via conference call with the Blind Services Planning Council, the Illinois Association of Blind Merchants, and other appropriate stakeholders. And be it further resolved that this organization insists that the Bureau of Blind Director, acting or permanent, also attend such conference calls and do all that is statutorily mandated to assure that the Blind Services Planning Council has the information to give informed advice and to participate in budgetary formulation.
Do I have a motion to recommend do pass?
So moved.
Second.
Debbie moved, Bill seconds. Who is the proponent here? Very briefly, I don't think this one's particularly controversial.
I'll take this.
Thank you.
The vendors, Ed Birmingham, brought this to my attention, and Ed and I worked on this resolution, and it actually speaks to itself, and some of the concerns behind the resolution, I believe, addressed a previous situation and a previous director. But all that having been said, we just want to continue the kind of good cooperation that we've had more recently, and so that's all.
Any opposition or questions?
Madam Chair.
Dave.
Oops, I guess I don't have a mic. No opposition, but I do have a question. How would we define appropriate stakeholders? Should they be mentioned, or?
I would prefer that we not mention them generally because they change. In general, appropriate stakeholders to us certainly means the consumer groups. I don't know if I have much vested interest in other than the consumer groups and BSPC, which is the Blind Services Planning Council. Sometimes this changes from time to time. I'd like to leave that a little more, a little less defined. Anybody else? All right, there's a motion on the floor. Those in favor on the committees who are in favor of recommending do pass, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That's unanimous. Can somebody please read 2015-02?
Do you have a mic?
No, exactly. All right, I'll use Bill's. Okay, anyway, Resolution 2015-02, calling on the governor and legislature to resolve budget and preserve adequate mass transit funding. Whereas mass transit is critical for blind people to go to work, school, medical appointments, and other essential life activities. And whereas mass transit is the only way for many persons with disabilities, especially blind people, to get around. And whereas initial budget proposals would have cut funding for mass transit and statewide Amtrak services. And whereas the lack of a state budget potentially can jeopardize mass transit funding, now therefore be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this first day of November 2015 in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization call on the governor and legislative leaders to pass a budget ensuring support of mass transit and statewide Amtrak services at current levels. And that's it.
So moved.
We've heard of.
I've got a move and a second in terms of recommending to pass, I presume. Steve, go ahead.
Well, we all know about the need for mass transit, and we all know about the political carryings on. And so, as Bill said in about the previous resolution, it's pretty self-explanatory. So if anyone has any further questions,
questions or comments?
And just for the record, Jamal and I drafted this resolution.
Okay. And for the record, I think Dave moved on that one, and Debbie Pittman seconded?
No, I moved.
No, Debbie moved. Yes.
Debbie moved, Dave seconded. Thank you. All right. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously carried. Can we get 2015-03, please?
Leanne says that she moves to the affirmation thingy.
Hello, Leanne.
Hey, hi there.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
That's the orientation mobility.
Let me find it. Okay. You want to slide me a mic? Steve, can you slide the mic over?
I think your mic comes from the other side.
Does it?
He's got two of them down there.
Byron? Yep, there's two of them down there.
There's two of them on that. Off that table.
Oh, there it is. It's right in front of me. All righty.
Yeah, I think you've got it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was looking for the base of it, and that's way over there.
No,
it's a real long handle.
For those who don't know, the mics are on booms, so you're not going to look for a table base. They're off the front of the table.
The bases are on the floor.
Hanging out there.
Yeah, the bases are on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Resolution 2015 number 3, regarding orientation and mobility instruction for children. Whereas skills in orientation and mobility, O&M, are essential for the successful transition of blind children, including children with low vision, to full and productive lives as adults. And whereas local and state laws recognize the use of the long white cane as a tool for both safety and independence for blind people, yet too many school systems nationwide do not promote the use of the white cane by blind students. And whereas regulations of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, section 300.34C, in brackets 7, related services, clearly define O&M as services provided to blind or visually impaired children by qualified personnel to enable blind students to attain systematic orientation to and safe movement within their environments in school, home, and community. And whereas, although IDEA clearly lists O&M as an essential service for blind and visually impaired children, too often these children are denied O&M instruction because the individualized education program, IEP team, assumes that these children do not need this instruction. And whereas another reason for denial of O&M instruction is insufficient evaluations, e.g., only examining a child's movement in familiar areas, failing to consider environments in different lighting, not requesting input from parents, or not considering such factors as the child's medically indicated expectations of further visual deterioration, and whereas the IEP team should treat O&M instruction as a presumption for youth who have an IEP based on visual impairment, as it does with Braille, unless a proper assessment determines that O&M instruction is not necessary, and whereas two states, Maryland and Texas, have incorporated mobility presumption and stronger evaluation requirements into state law, which will ensure that more students who need O&M instruction in those states will receive it. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, et cetera, in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization strongly urge the Illinois General Assembly immediately to enact legislation, as well as all entities and officials associated with the education of blind children, to enact policies that contain a presumption similar to the Braille presumption that explicitly states that all blind and visually impaired children need orientation and mobility instruction unless a proper evaluation demonstrates that such instruction is not appropriate for the child.
Okay, I'll speak to this one.
Do we have a motion?
So move.
I have a motion from Dave. A second from Debbie.
Mary.
Mary. Okay, sorry. All right, Steve, you want to speak to this?
Yeah. In one of our conference calls, you recommended that we take the national resolution and customize it a little bit, and it really wasn't very much, to relevance at the state level. We all understand the critical importance of good orientation and mobility, and presumably, once we pass this resolution and we start implementing it, I would be willing to go personally and meet with any officials that this organization deems appropriate to have responsibility for this subject matter. And I strenuously urge my colleagues to vote do pass.
Very good. Any other comments, questions? Those in favor of recommending do pass, say aye.
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 Those against, say nay. Adrian, did you make it? Okay. We also have some visitors. I know I heard Kathy Randall. Who else came in? Jamal Powell.
I think
Jim Gashel. Greg Rosenberg.
George
Villa. Hey, George.
Hey, George.
You had to come so far to get here, George. I feel so bad for you. Any other visitors? I just have to pick on George. All right. Can I get 2015-04 read, please?
Okay. I'm going to read this. This one has been in the news quite a bit lately, so we'll read it and have some discussion. Okay. Resolution 2015-04, positive train control. Whereas, as originally written, the Rail Safety Act of 2008, PL 110-432, requires railroads to implement positive train control, PTC, by January 1, 2017. And whereas fines for noncompliance range from $1,500 to $25,000 per violation, that is, per train per day, and whereas PTC ostensibly would improve railroad safety by using modern technology, including global positioning system, to regulate the speed of trains and the distance between trains, and whereas railroads claim that they need more time to implement PTC, and whereas Metra, Amtrak, and several major freight railroads have announced that they would shut down on January 1, 2016 if Congress does not extend this deadline. And whereas Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois is one of 160 members of Congress who have circulated a "Dear Colleagues," in quotes, letter calling for an extension of this, an extension through 2018 to implement PTC, and 2019 if railroads cannot meet this deadline but show a good faith effort to comply. And whereas Representative Bill Schuster, chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, T&I, has called for such an extension. And whereas members have introduced several bills, H.R. 22 would grant a 3-year extension, along with reauthorizing mass transit and Amtrak funding. H.R. 3651 would grant a standalone extension. S. 650 would provide a 5-year extension. And whereas Metra provides commuter train service to communities throughout the Chicago area, and whereas Illinois has invested considerable effort and funding to improve and operate Amtrak service throughout the state, and whereas strong, viable, comprehensive network of public transportation, networks of public transportation are essential for blind persons to lead active, productive lives. Now, therefore, be it resolved, etc., that this organization that this organization urged the Illinois Congressional Delegation to call for extending the January 1, 2016 mandatory deadline for full implementation of PTC. And be it for the resolved that this organization express its support of this proposed extension to other relevant officials.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Debbie Pittman moves.
Second.
Bill Reif seconds. Who wishes to propose this one?
I will.
Thank you.
The subject is pretty self-explanatory, although if you start getting into the logistics of it, it gets mighty complicated, so we won't do all that. That's pretty much it. You know, the Senate, as of last night, had not voted on a proposal yet. I'm not sure what's happening in the House. This is a fast-breaking legislative issue. And I think that we also need to express our support of and our need for viable public transportation, as we have in so many of our resolutions historically. And so I'll just stop here, and our chairperson can ask if we have more questions.
Okay, I would add that it looked to me from a Tribune article as though it had come up for a vote in the House this week and had passed, the House at least, to extend the positive train control requirements for another 3 years. Now, anybody have any questions, comments, opposition? Calling the question, those in favor recommending do pass, say aye.
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 Those against, say nay. All right, unanimously carried. Can I please get 2015-05? Thank you, Myron. By the way, did anybody else come in who's visiting us? Diego Espino. Okay, all one right. of our scholarship finalists made it to this meeting.
Okay,
Diego, you get the first point.
Just about to send you a text.
They're all supposed to be here. I was just texting a couple of them. So anyway, a couple seem to have gotten lost. But nice to see you here, Diego.
All right. Resolution 2015 number 5, concerning mandatory input by those utilizing readers of their readers' job performance on evaluations. Whereas, the blind and visually impaired community is a growing part of society as a whole, and whereas the blind and visually impaired community are an integral part of productive part of contributors to society. I'm reading exactly as it's written. And whereas the blind and visually impaired community make up part of the tax-paying community, and whereas the blind and visually impaired community are heavily reliant on the use of readers in the performance of their varying means of employment, and whereas the blind and visually impaired community have been put in positions where they have been forced to accept readers who were untrained and performed their jobs as readers ineptly, and whereas blind and visually impaired employees have been placed in situations where their readers have been allowed to get away with poor performance and their duties, poor performance of their duties, while hindering the blind or visually impaired employee's work performance, and whereas the employee utilizing the reader has been made to feel they have no power or recourse when their readers perform substandardly, and whereas in accordance with the Americans with Disabilities Act 28 CFR 35.160, general looks like parentheses A, number one, a public entity shall take appropriate steps to ensure that communications with applicants, participants, members of the public, and companions with disabilities are as effective as communications with others. Number two, for purposes of this section, companion means a family member, friend, or associate of an individual seeking access to a service, program, or activity of a public entity, who, along with such individual, is an appropriate person with whom the public entity should communicate. B, number one, a public entity shall furnish appropriate auxiliary aids and services where necessary to afford individuals with disabilities, including applicants, participants, companions, and members of the public, an equal opportunity to participate in and enjoy the benefits of a service, program, or activity of a public entity. Two, the type of auxiliary aid or service necessary to ensure effective communication will vary in accordance with the method of communication used by the individual, the nature, length, and complexity of the communication involved, and the context in which the communication is taking place. In determining what types of auxiliary aids and services are necessary, a public entity shall give primary consideration to the requests of individuals with disabilities. In order to be effective, auxiliary aids and services must be provided in accessible formats, in a timely manner, and in such a way as to protect the privacy and independence of the individual with a disability. And whereas, in accordance to the Americans with Disabilities Act 28 CFR 35, in determining what types of auxiliary aids and services are necessary, a public entity shall give primary consideration to the requests of individuals with disabilities. The blind or visually impaired employees' needs are to be strongly taken into consideration. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, et cetera, that this organization strongly recommend that the state pass a regulation making it mandatory that those employees utilizing the services of a reader to perform their jobs be allowed to provide major input on the evaluations of those readers in determining their level of job performance, whereby making the reader's job independent, dependent upon the people they read to.
All right, do we have a motion to recommend do pass?
So moved.
Debbie Pittman moves. Do we have a second?
Hostalis seconds.
Hostalis seconds. Now, before I forget, those of you that are in the room, keep in mind that when we're done here, we do have exhibitors, and we have six of them. We've done a really good job of getting people here to exhibit, and they're outside in the foyer. And if you haven't registered yet or gotten your water bottle from Invesco, who's our major convention sponsor this year, you should do so, not right now, but on your way out. All right, I'm going to open this one up for discussion. I have a motion and a second. Proponent first. Yeah, Debbie, I think you were the proponent on this one.
Okay, this resolution came out of some issues that have occurred with people on their jobs that have not been, basically have not been allowed to, when there's things going wrong with the reader, it's basically left as though the reader is the one that's in trouble. The person utilizing the reader is the one that basically is in trouble, and they're basically made to feel like they don't have any input. I spoke to the Department of Justice. I spoke to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and I also talked to the Lakeville Center for ADA Lakeville Center for ADA Lake Geneva Center, which deals with ADA regulations. Now, the particular regulation that is in this resolution is not the right one, but according to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they're under the impression that readers are being allowed to give input into their, the blind people are allowed to give input into their evaluations of their readers because they say that it's supposed to be an effective accommodation with interactive input, but that's not the case. And basically, there have been a number of different situations in which people have come to me and basically, it's like their jobs have been on the line because the job is not listening to them the jobs are not applying the interactive input part to the blind person.
Okay, I just got text, so I believe that there are additional people in the room now. Can you tell us who you are? We have new people. Hi, Julia. How are you? I'm sorry. I think I know who it is, but she's awful quiet. Say it again. Marina Salmon, welcome, welcome. Now, did you bring Barb Phelps with you? Barb is not here yet. All right. Not here yet. Anybody else that came in? All right, well, we're getting there. Now we got two scholarship finalists in the room.
No, we have three.
Three. I'm sorry, three. Well, I already had Diego.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, no, two
all right.
More.
So now we have three. Now we have two more.
We're missing one.
Yeah. I know that Barb is on the property. Yeah. Somebody should try and get a hold of Barb, like at least text her or something. That'd be maybe you can do
okay.
that.
Okay.
Please. I want to make sure she's not lost somewhere.
I think I have her. I'll do it.
Could you?
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We've had the proponent speak for this resolution. Obviously, I'm concerned about one thing that she said, which is true. The wrong regulation is cited as part of this resolution. That was something that I was going to bring up at some point. Now, do we have other commentary on this resolution or other people that have questions?
Yes, Estelle is.
Steve.
This is an important subject, And if we handle it right, we could help blind people do their jobs more effectively, and if not, we could cause more damage than if we were to say nothing. So any discussion that I've heard of pertaining to employment under the Americans with Disabilities Act most relevantly emanates from the reasonable accommodation language in section in Title I of the law. This resolution does not refer to any discussion of what the law says is reasonable accommodation. I mean, it kind of speaks to it obliquely, but not explicitly. And my other concern is that this is a federal law. How do you pass you don't usually pass a regulation at the state law, at the state level, to implement a federal law. So my concerns are not with the merit of the subject, but with a lot of the procedural logistics that the resolution either says or doesn't say.
Can I comment on that?
1 second. Let's see if somebody else wants to be. I will get back to you, I promise. Anybody else that has something, and then we'll let Debbie respond. Yes, Debbie.
Okay. According to the EEOC, who regulates this issue, that would be the proper procedure to take it to the state level first, because the state is the one that would make the regulation, will write the regulation. They only enforce it. And as I said, I talked to three different people at the EEOC, and they're under the impression that the blind person is getting interactive input being allowed to give interactive input into the reasonable accommodation that's supposed to be effective. And they're assuming that it's because, and I'm explaining that the readers, yeah, they're getting a reader, but the reader is not what they need to be. And they said then they should be allowed to go back and have this interactive conversation with the employer to say, no, this is not an effective accommodation.
I have to say as an attorney that what you're telling me you've heard from the EEOC is wrong. You cannot regulate, the state government cannot pass a regulation that imposes a regulation on the feds. The state can pass something in some cases that requires more than the feds, but there has to be an underlying law first. So I think they're probably mixing apples and oranges when they speak with you. Somebody on my right wanted to be heard.
You spoke to my point, so thank you.
Okay. Anybody else that wants to be heard on this one? All right, we've got a motion on the floor to recommend do pass. Those in favor say aye.
With corrections, can I say with corrections? What?
No, you can't say with corrections. Debbie, with all due respect, you know that it has a problem because you knew it when you said it, when you proposed it. So we need to either recommend do pass or don't pass what's in front of us. All right, those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay. The nays have it, and I didn't mean to vote there. I was just repeating. I wasn't voting. I only get to vote if there's a tie. The nays have it on that one. And, you know, Debbie, honestly, I totally understand the issue, and I think you should probably come back to it because I think that if you spoke to the reasonable accommodation issue in the right title of the ADA, I'm very sympathetic, and I think most of the committee is, as a person who uses a reader, to the notion that we should have some input in some way in the reasonable accommodation process, which means that you can't just give me somebody who A, can't read, and B, won't follow directions, and C, I mean, if you've used readers for years, you've all at some point had a problem reader.
Yeah.
So very sympathetic to the underlying issue. I just think we need to put forth a resolution that is a little bit differently written. Okay. Are anybody else come in? Nope. All right, we're getting down to the wire. Can we please hear 201506?
Okay. Resolution 2015-06, commending the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services for and the governor for the appointment of a Bureau of Blind Services director. Whereas the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services, Bureau of Blind Services, BBS, has, since the retirement of its director, Betty Odom Davis, over 2 years ago, been without a director. And whereas this prolonged lack of a director, together with the stresses inherent inherent with considerable BBS understaffing, depriving staff of the leadership and accountability necessary to efficiently coordinate service delivery, recognize work that was well done, and implement training reflecting new technologies and approaches. And whereas the lack of a BBS director deprived the Blind Services Planning Council and other organizations representing the blind of the ability to collaborate and or hold accountable the Bureau's provisions of adjustment to blindness and vocational services. And whereas the Department of Rehabilitation Services previous director made little effort to collaborate with blindness organizations or with the Bureau of Blind Services and rejected all candidates suggested by a previous search process. And whereas current DOORS director Chris Smith has demonstrated a commitment to enhance BBS services by more efficiently collaborating with the blind and by initiating a search process which has resulted in the selection of John Gordon, a blind person who has demonstrated his experience and commitment for over 20 years as the chair of the Illinois Committee of Blind Vendors. And whereas Governor Bruce Rauner recently appointed Mr. Gordon as BBS director, now therefore be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind, etc., in this first day of November in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization commend Chris Smith for her reinitiation of the search process and her support of a director, and be it further resolved that this organization commend the governor for his part in filling this important position, and be it further resolved that this organization congratulate John Gordon and work with him to address the many challenges that face the BBS in its provision of the quality services blind Illinoisans need and deserve. And that's it.
And moves that we recommend do pass. Do we have a second?
Second.
I don't know who proponed this, but once I would frankly say that it's a good resolution. I think it's the first time that we've actually felt like we had real input into the process. Very pleased to see John Gordon in, and we actively supported him. Anybody else want to say anything on this one?
Yes, and again, it's not often we have had opportunity to commend the current governor, but he has done what is asked and has made comments favorable to enhancing the quality of services to people with disabilities. And so with all that in mind, and I think the resolution is otherwise self-explanatory.
And we expect Mr. Gordon at this convention.
That's correct.
So, those in favor of recommending do pass on this resolution, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously. Before we close this meeting, and I did promise we'd be done on time, and we are. Firstly, I'd like to thank the committee and all those who wrote resolutions, worked on resolutions, proposed resolutions, etc. You know, I know it's a lot more to do before convention. There's enough to do before convention. Secondly, I want to remind people that if you haven't registered the registration table, you can hear right now. That's not the quietest area of the convention, but it's right outside. And we have, I'm told now, 7 exhibitors outside. I'm not sure who just came in that needed the extra table, but we just pulled the info table for another exhibitor. So please encourage our exhibitors by visiting them. They're up and down the hallway past registration. So if you go out our doors and go to your right, they'll then be on your left and your right. Anybody have any questions or comments about the resolutions before I ask for a motion to adjourn? Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Bettman moves. Dave seconds. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.